In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 63, Catholic Action. The organization of Catholic Action is the picture, the illustration, and it is really a diagram showing how everything is connected together there. So I won't try to describe that too much, but I will read the caption for the illustration. The diagram above outlines a complete plan of Catholic Action organization in accordance with the directions of Pope Pius XI. The Holy Father did not intend organization to be accomplished in exactly this manner. His instructions were only directive. In general, Catholic Action in our country is thus organized. In every parish, the pastor is the center and director of all Catholic activities. However, it is evident that the hierarchy, by means of the National Catholic Welfare Conference, aims to coordinate the activities of the different religious organizations into a united Catholic Action. What is Catholic Action? Catholic Action is the participation of the organized Catholic laity in the apostolate of the hierarchy for the purpose of winning or bringing back souls to Christ. The National Catholic Welfare Conference does not change one fundamental fact that in each diocese all organizations and activities are dependent on and responsible to the bishop. Catholic Action is the service and apostolate of the laity, commandeered by the episcopate. It must be dependent on and perfectly obedient to the hierarchy. There can be no Catholic Action without an episcopal commission. Since it is a participation, it must depend on the whole, that is, on the hierarchy of Pope, bishops, and priests, to whom Jesus Christ gave the mission to save souls for Him. Catholic Action seeks to establish the reign of Christ, to restore all things in Christ, to spread Catholic principles in every field of life, in other words, to Christianize the world. Catholic Action is religion in action, the result of a living faith. It implies, therefore, personal sanctification, although not directly aimed at it. From this personal sanctification arise works for the salvation of our neighbor, works that make lay apostles of members of Catholic Action. Catholic Action requires that Catholics should possess solid piety, a sound knowledge of the Catholic faith, an unquestioning obedience to the Pope and the hierarchy. The love of God that fills the heart of a faithful Catholic will impel him to join in the work of converting the world to Christ. It will urge him to contribute his help in all the ways he can in the lay state. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Catholic Action therefore makes of the layman a soldier of Christ, a co-missionary of the priesthood. At present, the activities are channeled through the National Council of Men, the National Council of Women, and the National Catholic Youth Council. These councils are really federations made up of existing lay religious organizations affiliated to make one whole. In the old days when Christianity was new, in a pagan world, the laity labored with the apostles in making Christ known and loved. Today, the need for the laity's help is as urgent as at the beginning. Much that was truly Christian has succumbed to modern atheism. The kingdom of Christ is now divided. There are not enough priests, and even if there were, many places such as mines, offices, and factories would not be easy for a priest to enter in to win souls to Christ. What activities are embraced in the work of Catholic Action? Catholic Action embraces in its work every form of apostolate. Catholic Action takes into account different aspects of the life of man, the most important of which are the home, school, social, business, and civil life. Catholic Action gives people a complete shaping, not only religious and moral, but social and specialized, according to their condition in life. It helps them solve problems of life in a Christian way. Catholic Action is concerned with the home, because the home makes or unmakes the individual and nation. Catholic Action is exercised when the members do all they can to keep the family united and happy, one in the service of God. Efforts should be made to make the home a joyful place to stay in, so that the members may find their home the most interesting place to go. Every home should be consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Only good books and newspapers must be admitted into the Catholic home. Catholic Action is concerned with the school, which especially in these days influences the minds and hearts of the young so deeply. Many modern parents think they have done their duty when they send their children to school, and so the school must be particularly active in Catholic Action to form those within its walls. The pupils must not only learn the religion well, but must also put its principles into practice. They must live so that a Christian life will become second nature to them, and when they leave the school, they will continue such a Christian life in the adult world. Even during school days, then, the pupils should practice true Catholic Action in their homes, with their companions, in their school activities, etc. Catholic Action is concerned with the social life of the nation. It is social action, for it strives towards the greatest good of society. It achieves Christian order for society by developing integrity of morals, purity of domestic life, practice of charity. In a word, Catholic Action leads to the peace and prosperity of society as a means towards the attainment of its final purpose of establishing the kingdom of Christ. How great can be the effect on social life of the good example of Catholic young men and young women living according to the principles of their religion? They can prove the truth that it is not necessary to sin in order to have fun. They can give effective example in their dress, speech, and general behavior. How great the evil, then, of their example when Catholic young men and young women from the best schools act against the principles they have learned, and in social life show themselves immodest, hard-hearted, and cheap in their behavior. In business, the proprietor must be just to all under him, pay a living wage, and be absolutely honest in his dealings with customers and others. Catholic Action is concerned with the civil life, however, it is above and beyond partisan politics. It does not engage in political squabbles. Catholic Action is for a supernatural end, but it cannot be divorced from civil society, since it is concerned with souls who are members of the civil society. It permits what the Catholic Church permits. Each member may belong to whatever lawful political party he may choose, provided he acts according to Christian principles. The voter must vote only for honest and capable officials. The official, in turn, must think only of the spiritual and material good of the body he is serving, and forget selfish ends. There is variety in the works of Catholic Action and in the means it uses to effect its ends. This variety is according to necessities of time and place. One place may demand the teaching of catechism, another the support of the parochial school, another the defense of the Church's rights against unjust and unlawful impositions of civil officials, another vigilance over the press and the moving pictures, another the education of the working classes. In many places, all or most of these necessities, with others, ought to be met. This is why an organization of well-trained laity is imperative. Okay. This lesson reminds me of something Bishop Lewis commented to us many years ago. While he was in Korea, he was appointed pastor of a parish. And of course, that entailed that if the communists came down into South Korea, that he would stay with his parish, which would mean almost certain death because he did not look Korean. But the push among the pastors and all the parishes throughout the diocese was that they must get all these different Catholic actions organized. And he found that, yes, in each of these different organizations, it was generally the same handful of people who were in each of these groups and each of these societies. So he chose, as a pastor, to simply have the Third Order of St. Francis of Assisi and cut out so many of these organizations that were actually becoming very taxing on just a few individuals in the parish. You have a handful of individuals who will join every group, every society, every fraternity, and work very hard for each one, and then the majority do not want to do anything, and they will not join or participate. And so he saw that really the Third Order of St. Francis of Assisi can fill every one of these needs. And if we get the Third Order working in Catholic action, they can actually fulfill probably even better. And they're not torn apart in different directions by belonging to these different groups and organizations with different obligations. They can fulfill the obligations of the Third Order and still accomplish this broad range of activities that need to be looked after or taken care of. And so it was with the Third Order of St. Francis of Assisi that Catholic action can really take place, and I think that is a very good principle. I think our Third Orders are often underused. Bishop Lewis commented that the Third Order would go, if someone stopped coming to Mass, the Third Order would go to their house. He would send them out in pairs of individuals, two women to go visit the women, two men to go visit the men. And of course, he said he had to watch which men he put together, because if two certain men got together, they would stop at the bar, either before their duty or after, and then usually their obligations fell by the wayside, and they forgot why they were out. But the Third Order members, it was their responsibility, if you will, to make sure that the members of the parish were active, that they fulfilled their obligation, and if they were sick, would go and visit, what is wrong? Is there anything we can do to help you, either as an individual or help or with as the parish? Or would you like the priest to come to visit you? So they were keeping in contact to really become the network or the fiber that held the parish together. And so they would let the priest know if someone was sick and needed the last rites. There was this whole network of communication to get back to the pastors so that all the needs of the parish were being met in a nice, orderly manner. And so within the Third Order, they have those members that are in charge of others, and there is, I guess, this descending tree or ascending tree, if you will, of authority that leads right back to the pastor, leads right back to the bishop. And I think really the church does need the participation of laity. It did mention, that many parents send their children to school thinking they have fulfilled their obligation. And I've often told parents, that's just the beginning. We really need you to live a Catholic life in the home. We need your home to be consecrated to the Sacred Heart and you to take it seriously. We need you to have a crucifix. You should have a sick call crucifix. You should pray the rosary. These Catholic actions are something that needs to be part of every home. Yes, it should be in the school, but we can't just leave one area and neglect the other. It has to be all-encompassing. And of course, it's hard to separate when you get a bunch of lay people together, I guess especially laymen, to fight against the evils, political evils, the material evils in the world. And very often, I think we get distracted by the politics that are going in the world and the heated arguments. And I think the Third Order of St. Francis, living up to their rules and obligations, have the tools necessary to pull back from those worldly pursuits and to realize there is something more important. We must seek first the kingdom of heaven. So as long as you are acting conscientiously, we really don't care what political party you belong to, who you vote for. It becomes a matter, I wouldn't say of indifference, but a matter that is completely secondary to the whole purpose of Catholic action, of the Church, and seeking our eternal salvation. And of course, and we must act with a good conscience when we join a political party. We must have a good conscience and vote for the right person, the right reasons when we vote. And so, yes, you can't really separate the religion from the politics, but we don't need to get down to the mudslinging that so often happens in politics. And I think really the Third Order of St. Francis of Assisi is the ideal setting for this Catholic action to take place. So we try to have and encourage those who are able to join the Third Order and to do their best to make it the best Third Order possible, so that the Third Order is better because they joined them and not just be, dead weight in the organization. Just to join, to say that I belong to this organization, is not enough. The whole purpose of the organization is making the world a better place, is drawing souls to Christ. Any comments? Questions? No. Okay, then we will end with our act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et moniet semper. Amen.